Welcome back to the channel. I hope you're all doing well. In this video, we'll be watching Candace Owens debate a group of woke students at a Turning Point user event. Let's dive in.
My question isn't specifically about anything you really said tonight, although I don't really agree with anything you said.
Okay.
I'm proudly part of the LGBTQ community. I've always stood up for my community whenever I needed to.
Is there a question in there or a speech?
Yes.
You gotta ask a question, buddy. I know you wrote this out in your notes, but ask a question. How do you think
other people who, with your beliefs, respond to the fact that your hateful and harmful rhetoric costs the lives of queer children every single day, on average, every 45 seconds?
Okay, so this is just gonna be a pure boogeyman. You're pretending that someone committed suicide because of Candace Owens. You've got no facts here. You're just going, it's your rhetoric that's causing all of this. When in reality, you wanna talk about the tea? I sat down with a man named Walt Heyer who was convinced to chop his penis off after your community told him that there was something wrong with him because he had confusion. Why was he trans? Because he was molested when he was 4 years old by his uncle. Rather than being sat down and spoken to by a psychologist, he was handed hormone pills and he eventually chopped off his penis. Walt Heyer is now 80 years old. He detransitioned and he does a lot of work talking about why it is that he runs a charity, okay, an actual charity that is dedicated to sex change regret of people who have changed their parts and can't go back. And you know what happens? Suicide rates go up after they transition. After they transition. And Candace Owens wasn't the one that chopped their saw. I just want to say, I am not the doctor who chopped off these people's penises. I am not the person that caused them to have that depression after they go through these transitions and can't just magically go back. So as I said, that is a complete, it's just creating an absolute straw man. Your rhetoric has done this. You have no idea what's going on in those individuals' lives and how they are being inspired to ruin their own lives. And so on my platform, I do host people that have sex change regret. And I speak to those individuals because the community needs to hear those stories before they make those same decisions and can't turn around. Plain and simple.
What do you have to say to the trans students on this campus who feel actively victimized by your presence here?
Life's tough. Get a helmet, man. I'm too pregnant for this. Next question. Seriously, somebody just give out free hugs or something. Somebody give out free hugs. I can't be your mommy, okay? I'm too pregnant. I can't be your mommy. Next up.
As a non-binary person, what do you have to tell me about my identity? Because I know for a fact I'm not confused.
Okay, next question. Great statement. That's a statement. Okay. You know your identity. You're not confused. Congratulations, sweetheart. Thank you very much for your statement.
Candace Owens is an absolute powerhouse. She doesn't take any nonsense from anyone. She delivers sharp, decisive responses as people ask questions or make statements. It's surprising that some don't realize who they're dealing with. Haven't they seen her shows or watched her debates at events like Turning Point USA? If you step up unprepared, she'll make you look foolish. If you ask silly questions, expect a reality check. Now, let's get back to it.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I was wondering where you got your statement, your statistic about people who transition, detransition, as well as that you are infertile after transitioning. Because I myself take hormones. I do testosterone injections, mm-hmm. and I've gone through a lot of doctors, and none of them told me that was true.
Okay, so on my podcast, I actually cite all the sources. If you look up my name and my podcast, it's in so many articles. And also, as I said, sexchangeregret.org actually lists all of these statistics with their sources. So obviously, I can't give you a hyperlink as I'm standing on the stage, but you can definitely find it on my podcast and you can find it on sexchangeregret.com. Okay. Thank you for the question. That was, I think, the first question we got there.
Here's how it should be done. Ask a legitimate question or engage in a debate. Don't resort to name calling, rudeness, or yelling. It only makes you look foolish, regardless of the topic. Candace is right. If you research this, you'll find that many people who were pushed into transitioning or weren't protected by their parents regret it by the time they're in their 20s or 30s. For example, many young boys who transition to being trans women might have simply grown up to be gay men, which is perfectly fine and would have spared them the challenges that come with transitioning. There are plenty of these stories out there, and they're often heartbreaking. Many of these situations could have been avoided if the children hadn't been taken advantage of, lacked proper guidance, or had better parenting. Let's get back to it.
Hi.
According to Britannica, the definition of the nuclear family has expanded with the advent of same-sex marriage. Children in nuclear families may be couples' biological or adopted offspring. Does this mean that the merch you sell supporting, you know, nuclear families means that you support trans couples adopting, gay couples adopting, and spreading this rhetoric that you talk about?
So you're talking about the expansion of definition. So right now they've expanded the definition of woman to include biological males. This gets back into what I was saying earlier about the left controlling linguistics and just pretending that, okay, a nuclear family can now be two trans parents that are adopting a child. That is not the nuclear family unit that I am talking about. I believe that I am talking about marriage between a male and a female, which naturally and biologically produces children. So no, I do not take that new updated definition of what it means to be a woman or what it means to be a nuclear family.
This is why I care so much about this topic, because I care about the truth. It's not about what people do in their own homes. I couldn't care less about that. What I care about is the truth, women and their spaces, children, facts, and human beings. When you start changing words like fetus or woman in the dictionary to fit your narrative or ideology, or when you redefine what a nuclear family is, it becomes a concern. A man cannot just become a woman, and a woman cannot just become a man simply because they feel like it. No biological man knows what it feels like to be a woman, and vice versa. This conversation matters because it's about truth, language and laws that affect everyone, not just a small part of the population.
I've raised my hand before, so I just want to preface that I am, like, have opposite views, but I do want to have a genuine conversation without feeling belittled, so I do just want to preface that.
Yeah.
I am a feminist. I do study specifically academia and the structure of academia and what that looks like for people of color. So in relation to free speech, like, do you feel that, like, free speech is free for everybody in terms of Western society and the America that we live in today, and at what point does free speech no longer become free?
What do you mean, at what point does it become no longer become free?
Some rhetoric can be harmful to other communities, especially in the way that it's spread in the media. And I think that goes for both sides. But
can you give me an example? It's always easier to, you know, answer a question.
What I know we all are aware of what happened on campus last year.
I'm not.
Okay. Great. Look it up. So it was just involving the feeling of LGBTQ members of the community feeling unsafe with rhetoric that's being shared in terms of transphobia.
If you're a man, I need an example, and someone, like, if you're a biological man and someone says, hey, what's up, dude?
More of, like, there's students on campus that are living in communities where they don't feel safe because of rhetoric of explaining that transphobia isn't accepted. Mm-hmm. So my question is just, like, how do you think free speech impacts everybody in community?
Yeah, I mean, the idea that if somebody looks at a man and calls him a man, that they're suddenly unsafe because they've created a false reality in their own head. I don't abide by that. I think this is what's really happening is that we are celebrating mental disorders in America right now. I had a stalker, a very serious stalker at FBI, ended up getting involved, who had suffered from schizophrenia. He very much believed, and it was a terrifying thing to go through. He escaped the Psych 5150 hold, and he very much believed that he and I were in a relationship, and he would send me about 100 emails a day, okay? In the world of what you believe in your own head now needs to be accepted as reality, I would have had to marry him and raise my children with him, okay? But what was going on in his head wasn't actually reality. And me saying that this person needs to stay away from me and my family because there's something wrong with him and he was threatening to kill me if I didn't, you know, raise my child with him, that was reality. That was something that had to be dealt with. So what's happened right now is the left is trying to make it seem that people who see reality for what it is are demented and are creating unsafe territory, and that's not the truth. In fact, what I think is unsafe territory is for people to be affirmed in their delusions. So I will never refer to a biological male as a female. And if that makes somebody feel unsafe, you know, I'm not following you around. I don't know what happened on your campus. I wouldn't follow you around and say, hey, you're a male. Totally fine. Go live your life as you want to live your life. But when you say that the way that you live your life now has to impact me and I have to pretend that I see a woman when clearly you are a man, I shouldn't have to play that game. That's all. Thank you very much.
Girl, you can't start by saying you have different points of view and want a respectful debate, then take that approach. It's just not going to work. This young lady seemed to start with good intentions of having a conversation with Candace, but like many woke students, when things didn't go her way, she resorted to name calling and got upset. She even told Candace to look it up, as if Candace should know everything happening on campus or in that city. That's not realistic. If you want a productive discussion, you need to provide the facts and the story so both sides can engage. She brought up hate speech, but we have long-standing laws against inciting violence for a reason. However, as Jordan Peterson often discusses, the problem with defining hate speech is that it's subjective. If you ask 100 people, you'll get 100 different answers. And if laws were made to define it, those in power, like a democratic or liberal government, could shape it to fit their narrative, which is why free speech should be left alone. Someone is always going to be offended by facts or truth. As Candace said, life is tough. Wear a helmet. I hope you enjoyed this video. Peace out, and I'll catch you in the next one.